Welcome, welcome, everyone. I am excited and nervous for today's call, both for the same reason. We're doing a demo today. I'm gonna, in a little bit, not quite yet, I'm gonna ask for a volunteer, and we're gonna do a demo of, befriend your fear and or rewiring process, and then we're going to take time together as a group to break down the skills that I used and to look at coaching decisions that were made and all of that. So I'm excited for the session because magic always happens, right? But especially in demo sessions, I feel like a lot of magic happens and a lot of learning kind of starts to crystallize and integrates. And also, I'm always nervous before I do a demo because you never know what's going to happen. So I get to model, not stepping into myth of perfection for all of you. And I get to learn along with everybody, as I always do from each of you. So before we jump in, and also to say, I know some of you, Mindy had a great question from her practice about how do you know, when you're doing the inner dialogue work, how do you know when the client is ready to speak? That's a great question. So if you have any questions, bring it in and observe during the demo, and then let's look at it afterwards and unpack. But before we go there, I'd love to hear if you have been practicing either with your coaching partner or with clients or even with yourself, some of the practices. I'd love to hear some celebrations and or takeaways, things that you're learning so far, either from rewiring techniques or befriend your fear techniques. So who's been working on it, and what are either some celebrations or takeaways that you're learning? Mindy.
Thanks. So I'm still having trouble with writing and typing. So I'm not doing like a formal log or anything, but it is something I've been aware of with my negative thought patterns and fears. And the thing that's has st struck me the most is that just by being aware of them, I sort of neutralize them.
Talk more about that.
Yeah, that it just takes kind of takes the power, the negative, I'm using the negative power away, or the effects of them that I don't want. It just, or it lessens them, where I catch myself faster. And it's just been an interesting practice to be able to do that. And it makes me feel a little false sense of control, but a little more control over my emotions. So, if we are actually able to have control over these things, or to whatever extent we can.
And I would agree. I think maybe not full, but I think we can harness them in certain ways, or use them differently, than they use on autopilot. And so I'm so glad that that neutralization is happening. A part of the reason why that it is, probably one of the reasons, but I'm pulling it out because I think it's important for us to remember for ourselves and for our clients, is This is the same with fear and with negative thoughts. Oftentimes, when we're in the energy of the fear or we're having the unhelpful thought, we don't realize that it is just a part of ourself, or that the thought doesn't have to be true. It feels like the whole thing. You know, it is either
Right.
maybe with the thought, it's absolute truth. With the fear, it's all of me. And so by doing this practice that you're doing of isolating the thought, or if we, you know, want to track the fear, same thing, it kind of pulls it out, and it separates in all the best ways. It separates so that we can see it differently, and that it's not all of us, and that's part of the reason why it gets neutralized. Yeah, good.
Exactly.
I'm so glad you're working on it. It takes, you know, and I just want to mention, it takes effort to do some of the homework that I've given you all, right? So if you haven't done it yet too, like, yay, Mindy, for doing it right. But if you're sitting here and you're like, oh, I haven't tracked my thoughts yet, like, it's normal. And make a commitment, see if you want to experiment with something this
So
week, right?
I'll share with you that I went into the, oh my God, I'm not doing this right because I'm not using the sheet. And I'm doing it wrong, and I'm not really doing the homeworks. And I thought, no, that's ridiculous. I can do it a different way. And yes, it's really nice to be able to write it down and journal and dialogue with it. But I can also take a few seconds throughout the day once in a while, and I think I can get the same effect. And maybe eventually I'll do more. But I did go into the I'm not doing this right, homework right mode, and that it wasn't going to help, but it does.
Yeah, and there's no one right way. Always use law of adaptation to make it work for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Kim is saying I always find myself doing the work a different way, usually through actual experiences. I'd love to hear one more share. What do you want to celebrate? Yeah, Jenna. Oh, can't hear you though. You're on
Oh, good, good, good.
mute.
Thank you. I would love to share an experience that happened with Rebecca, my practice partner. We have a pretty incredible container that we've been building and nurturing over this time. And this pattern that I've been working with and that's been showing up and that she knows well is just pattern in like a deep belief of just not being good enough and doubting myself. And so our last session, we were, and it's a perfect example as well, I think, is how not necessarily doing all the steps, but she noticed this piece that I had been working on, and it was sort of a celebration of like just trusting myself, because that's that reoccurring theme that comes through. And so we went into a visualization into my body where I was feeling it, and this like wise, this archetype of like a wise witch that had popped in before, and we dialogued with her. And gosh, I don't know, I have it all in my head, and so I'm not sure if it's like coming across clearly, and I have my notes, but I just kind of wanted to acknowledge that and celebrate it. And it was really powerful, and the messages that came through, and how we've just been revisiting it, and just the it's been really lovely. So did that come through enough? Like,
Yes. It sounds, first of all, it sounds amazing, and that, you know, you're doing such powerful work together. I love that that witchy archetype is coming through, and I'm so glad that you're mentioning this piece about the practice, because that's back to moving a breakthrough into a transformation. So this, the popping up of the witchy archetype, that's a breakthrough. You have her, and you have her wisdom, and, you know, inside of you for you to use. But the coming back to her wisdom, and the making it more of a go-to place, And the going deeper with it, that is what's going to bring you to be able to more fully utilize her and her wisdom and take action on it and all the pieces. So really nicely done, both you and Rebecca. All right. Well, let me share a couple of things about the demo, and then we'll go into it. Make sure I have some notes here. Okay. So in a few minutes, I'll ask for some volunteers who would like to be a client. And I may not pick the very first volunteer hand that goes up. Usually with demos, I'm going a little bit from like intuition on what's going to serve the group best. And also, if somebody who doesn't happen to share very often happens to raise their hand, I'm gonna validate that too. So if you raise your hand and I don't end up calling you, it's not because I don't love you very much and don't want to coach you. It's just kind of a what's gonna serve the group. But so anyway, in a few minutes, I'll ask for volunteers. And then we'll go and we'll do a demo. And while we're doing the demo, as the rest of you are observing, I wanna invite you to do a couple of things as you observe in order to take your learning more deeply, and then in order for us to have an amazing conversation about it afterwards. So number one, I want to invite you to be on the lookout for any of our foundational skills. Notice energetics, notice listening, notice creating awareness skills, notice questioning skills, visioning, strategizing skills. We need all of those foundational skills to do the BYF or rewiring techniques. Those are the building blocks. So if there are any new pieces that you learn or anything that you're noticing around those foundational skills as you observe, that's, I think it's great for us to discuss that along with everything else. Number two, I want you to pay attention to how together me and the client are creating awareness either around the belief or the fear, and then how we're befriending the belief or the fear. Notice little details, notice flourishes, anything that, you know, gets your attention. And then let's also pay attention, hopefully, you know, you never know what's going to come up, but my hope is, my intention is, and I don't usually have this intention going into a regular client session, but for our sake, my hope is that we're going to do some kind of inner dialogue so that I can demo it for you. But so when we come out of it, I also want to invite you to pay attention to what are we doing with that information that came through the dialogue or what that experience, right? Because the session doesn't end there and the conversation and the coaching doesn't end there. So what are we doing with that? And what are we doing it to support moving it from a breakthrough towards a transformation? And think if there's anything else. Oh, and then any questions that come up for you as you're listening, make a note of it. And any like, I wonder why Joanna did that, or I think, you know, I might have done that differently, right? Make note of that too. Remembering that this is an art, not a science, which is like part of what makes it amazing. How I do it isn't necessarily how you might do it. And it doesn't make how I do it better than how you do it at all, right? So it'll be nice to also get different ideas about that as well. Any questions before we go into it? No? All right. So with that, who would like to volunteer to be our client today? Who's got something that they'd love some coaching on? Give people a moment to raise hands. All right. Well, I said one of the things I might go by is if I haven't heard from you in a while. And Lisa, I feel like I haven't heard from you in a while. So I'll go with you. And thank you, everybody who volunteered.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I feel like it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't seen you in a little bit. Thank you for volunteering.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, what is it that you'd like to receive from our time together today?
I have been feeling a lot of fear lately. It feels like more than usual. And I think it's a mixture of the collective fear, but also my own of, and I really resonated with what Jenna brought forward because I am changing my direction of my coaching from focusing on grief, and now I'm being pulled quite strongly to focus on pleasure and sensuality. And I go to sit. I love writing, and I'm a great writer. I've been told from many people who have followed me. But I feel really blocked with it, and it feels that a lot of it is the witch wound coming forward of just the fear of being ostracized and judged, like put on the judgment stand and having to defend myself. I was raised religious, Catholic, but my aunt who helped raise me, I don't really know. She's changed quite a bit, but she's very Christian. And things that I've written, because I've led Circle for almost 3 years now, so I speak about the underworld and things like that. And so she'll, and I've collaborated with like women who are, indigenous psychics or mediums. And so she has a lot of fear, and because she of me going down a slippery slope, like her words, and actually putting Bible verses on my posts, and of like fear-based. And I am a very spiritual person, and I think that's, but I'm very fluid, like spiritually fluid, I guess you could say. So yeah, I created an all new Instagram account, like everything from scratch. And now I feel like because I did that I'm hiding, and I feel stuck. And yeah, just my energy is just being like totally leaked, and it feels like in all these directions, and I don't know where to show up anymore.
Okay, so I think I'm getting it, but I'm gonna reflect back to you and let me know if I am. So first of all, you're so self-aware. You're already coming into this time, with this awareness of the fear of being ostracized and, you know, having the sense of, you know, where it comes from for you. So I just want to really honor and acknowledge that. And tell me if I'm getting this right. It sounds to me like you're at a pivotal moment in your work. You're moving from focusing on grief to focusing on pleasure. Mm-hmm. And also it sounds to me like you already have done a lot of writing, but now is a moment where you're feeling inspired to do more writing and to be more seen in some ways in it and more visible. And as I think what I'm hearing is, as you're moving into this pivotal moment where so much is possible next, you are seeing and noticing not only internally in terms of how you feel, but also in some of these actions of changing the accounts and all of that, that you're hiding a little bit, and really taking action from this place of the fear of ostracization. Am I getting all of that right?
Yeah. And like when I was thinking about it yesterday, because I had a circle yesterday, and it's like I study lots of witchy things. And it's because I'm pulled towards them. Like it feels very natural to me. Mm-hmm. And I am connected deeply to nature and the seasons. And I use essential oils and herbs and like but I don't want anyone to know that I'm a witch. Like,
yeah. It does. You mentioned earlier, it sounds like that wounding. And I can really see and feel that. So taking all of this into consideration, what is it that you would love to walk away with today?
Just the feeling of freedom to be myself, mm-hmm. to live my truth and to speak my truth, mm-hmm. and be okay if people want to challenge it, because it's my truth.
What do you notice, if anything, about your body as you just said all of that, you know, the freedom to be in your truth?
I felt stronger.
Yeah, I noticed that too. I could feel that. So can we agree that ability to be in your truth and to feel the freedom in your truth, you've actually already got that inside of you? We may want to, you know, like strengthen it a bit more, but it feels to me like it's there and ready for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Well, you know, part of this demo is about us going deeper. Are you ready to go deeper a little bit?
Yes.
Awesome. So I'm thinking, let's work with the fear of ostracization. Am I saying that right? Ostracization. And ostracization. ostracism. Thank you. Let's work with the fear of ostracism and see where we want to go with it. And see if we can move you closer to that feeling of freedom to be in your truth. Sound good?
Okay. Yeah.
Great. So is it okay to close your eyes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So I invite you to be with your body and see if you can notice where in your body you're holding that fear of ostracism.
It's high in the front of my chest, like up here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels warm and also heavy.
Yeah. Okay, good. You're doing really well. So I want to invite you to continue to just be with that fear high up in your chest and be with that feeling without judgment. Just hold space for it. Pay attention to it. Be friendly with it. And if you're able to visualize, it's okay if you're not, but if you're able to visualize, see if it looks like anything in there in your chest.
See, it feels and it looks to be like metal, like solid metal or rock.
Yeah, good. You're doing really well. And sense into its energy, this metal, this rock. Really see if you can feel it. What does its energy feel like?
It's heavy and it's hot. Like it feels like staticky, even like electric.
Yeah, I can kind of sense as you describe it, you can sense that. So continue to connect with it and just be with it. Hold space for it and its energy. And I invite you to ask it, what event or series of events brought it into being?
I see my mom being silenced. And yeah, just I see her out like with friends and men and being very outward, like outspoken and just really expressive. And then I see her also like shying away and quieting herself, like holding herself back.
Yeah.
A reaction, like, oh, I shouldn't be like that.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And how old are you, or how old is the part of you that's seeing her right now?
9.
Yeah. So I wanna, if it feels right, tell me if it does. I wanna invite you to connect in with your 9-year-old. Does that feel okay to you?
Yep.
Okay. Maybe you can see her, maybe not. You see your 9-year-old self?
Yeah, I see her bad perm.
I had one of those. I get it. What's her energy? Notice the expression on her face. Notice how she holds herself. What do you notice, and what's her energy?
She feels pulled into, like she's just observing. She feels I want to say isolated or solitary, like on her own, like she doesn't She's just on her own.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask her what she's scared of.
She's scared to use her voice. She's scared to speak up because it usually doesn't end well.
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing really well. Continue to hold space for your 9-year-old. And what is it that your 9-year-old, what is it that you want her to know that no adult ever told her about all of this?
That never was her fault.
What else?
That she's loved. And what she has to say does matter.
Beautiful, you're doing really well. Is there anything else that you want her to know about speaking up and expressing herself and being her?
She's a very wise little girl. Yeah, she knows more than what people give her credit for.
Beautiful. So take a moment and really let her know that. Hold the space for her to hear that. And see if you can find in your body, Lisa, where you deeply believe everything that you just said to your 9-year-old.
I feel it in my stomach.
Good, good. So be with that feeling in your stomach. And what else does that place in your stomach want you to know?
That she's protected and safe.
Take a moment and let that drop in. Really feel that. What else does your stomach want you to know?
She wants to be creative and feel like the freedom to create. She's allowed to express herself.
Can you feel some of that freedom in your stomach?
Yeah, it feels expansive. Like it feels more expansive than it did a moment ago. Yeah.
Doing really well. Be with that. Make a body memory of that feeling of freedom in your creativity, of that expansiveness. Really let yourself have this. What are you noticing?
It feels like some pressure against my solar plexus. Mm-hmm. Like it's pushing up. Mm-hmm. And that's like where I start to feel the weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So ask your solar plexus what that's about.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering how that metal piece was doing back there. So, mm-hmm. So let's come back to it. And ask it from its highest wisdom what it wants you to know.
Yeah, it's a little shaky. Like it's not stable. Mm-hmm. It's like it's kind of like it's getting its foundation rocked a bit.
Mm-hmm. Ask it what it needs from you so that you can, well, sorry, let me take a step back. Before you ask it that, ask it if there's a higher purpose that it can serve in your life.
Riverbanks came. It was providing the riverbanks for me.
Do you understand what it means by that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I see the masculine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. And so ask it what it wants you to know about using it as the riverbanks.
That is my protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean to cover me completely. It just wants me to know that it's there.
Ah, so you can have protection without it taking over so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful. Notice the channel between your belly and up there in your solar plexus in your chest now. What are you noticing?
Yeah, it's opened up. I can feel more of a channel between my belly and to my throat now.
Beautiful. Good. Good. And one last question. Ask your belly if there's anything else it wants you to know right now.
It wants to be honored and and noticed more. Not ignored.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that you're willing to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let it know. Let it know that's something that you're willing to do. And ask it if it has any ideas on how you can honor it more and pay more attention to it.
I mean, touching it more, rubbing my belly, movement.
Yeah. Good. Good. So I know I said one last question, but there's just one more. Continue to connect into that feeling in your belly and that freedom of creativity while feeling that, knowing that you have the riverbanks of protection, it doesn't have to take over. Just continue to feel into all of that and ask your belly what it wants you to know about moving forward with your writing or visibility. What would it like for you to do, or what would it like for you to know? around all of that.
To take action on the inspiration that it is like popping up from my belly.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I think that's like the stop ignoring me.
Yeah. Is that, are you willing to do that?
Yeah.
Beautiful. So just let it know. Okay. And then you can take another breath or two, make a body memory of this feeling of freedom, all that you're feeling. Thank your 9-year-old and your body and the fear and the protection and, you know, all of it. Just be in gratitude. Thank it. Thank all of it for its presence. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. You did awesome. We did a lot of work there.
Really, oh, I can feel that. The energy.
Yeah, where are you feeling it?
Like on the back of my shoulders, but it was just like when my stomach met my solar plexus, it was just all like shaky and tingling. And then when we brought the riverbanks in, it went like it opened up, and that's where like my riverbanks are along my shoulders and my back. Mm-hmm. Then I could just feel this open energy. It feels amazing. I can still feel it. Yeah.
I love that. I see it in your face. I love that imagery of the riverbanks holding that flow coming through.
Yeah.
A different job, right? One that serves so much more. So there, you know, there is a lot in it. And what is really standing out to you? What feels really important in that inner dialogue that we just did and that somatic work that we just did?
Giving my insides a voice.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Why is that important to give your insides the voice? What are you seeing?
That little girl is so, like, I could see the dress she was wearing, I could see her hair, and then I could see her also, you know, looking pretty, but not feeling pretty on the inside, and so allowing all of like what wants to bubble up from my like my creative center to allow it to come out. And even if it's just taking notes or speaking it out loud or telling a friend, like just like giving it voice, getting it out and making it more of a reality instead of holding it in. Cause I think like that's that nervous energy too, is holding everything in all the time.
Yeah. Yes. And what I was just thinking as you were talking, and tell me if I'm getting this right and if it resonates, that, and you use this motion, you know, that the getting it out and the, you know, the creativity and the sharing of it, that is part of that freedom that you were talking about at the beginning of the session, or a pathway to that freedom. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, totally. It's like the river, right? Like letting the river flow. Is how I see it now. Yeah.
I love that. Letting the river flow. That feels like a beautiful, just a writer downer to have by your computer screen or your desk or your mirror, as a reminder. So, taking all of this, what are some next step actions for you? Particularly around the writing, the shift to the pleasure, the being more visible. What action do you feel inspired to take?
What comes to me is making more of a ritual before I begin writing and connecting with those parts of me, like putting the riverbank in place and having that and knowing and feeling and just setting that intention so that I feel free and connected to express what wants to come out.
Yeah. It almost feels like by having that ritual, it will help you not censor and be in that truth and authenticity that you were speaking about before.
It feels like almost, how some people call in their guides, and I do that sometimes too, but because I'm so nature-based, the river actually feels more aligned with me.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, you definitely want to go with what resonates and feels aligned. So I love that, having that ritual before you write. And then I'll tell you something that I'm curious about, and this might be my agenda, not yours. So you'll let me know if this isn't a road for us to go down. I'm wondering if there's anything around the social media, and maybe the writing is related to the social media posting, but I know because you specifically said like you feel like you're hiding in social media and you want to be more visible there. I'm wondering if there are any specific next steps around the social media that you feel inspired to take through the work today.
Yeah, well, I just feel, the only, not the only way, but is to just do it and also create boundaries with it as well. Like
Talk more
blocking.
about that. Yeah, talk more about that
Blocking
because that feels important to make it
my
actually.
family. Which I had to learn how to do. Apparently, there's a way to do that. So, yeah, I think that would create a lot of safety for
Yeah.
myself in that, in the creativity and allowing myself to flow. Because I mean, I follow people on, I'm like, sometimes I'm like, oh wow, you can say that. Like some of the women I follow on Instagram, I'm like, holy. So it's not
Yeah.
like you can't say these
No,
things.
you absolutely can. And I love this idea of, blocking the people that you just don't feel comfortable seeing that. That's more than okay. I can only speak for Facebook because that's what I know best. There's a way on each post to click on the top right corner, and then you can choose who you don't want to, who won't see that post. So, if that's a tool that is going to help you be in that freedom of expression and that feels right for you, go for it 100%. Is there anything that you haven't been yet sharing? On social media that you feel inspired specifically to maybe stretch into and share about.
Well, what I really have been feeling lately is just the like the idea of sexual sovereignty and how that feels for women and how it relates to self-abandoning and all the different ways that we self-abandon for things that are not guaranteed even. Like we have no idea what we're gonna get. So why do we abandon ourselves? And yeah. And I keep like my thing that it keep coming to me is that when women step into their sexual sovereignty, Mother Nature rejoices. And so digging into that, like I don't really know what it means, but that's the exploration where that keeps pulling me.
Yeah, I get chills when you say all of that. It feels so powerful. So is there a specific piece around this of homework that you want to give yourself for over the next week?
Yeah, writing, like really taking time to write and explore, journal on what that means, what that message really means.
I love it. I love it. And feel free to share if you want to share in our group first. To share so we can hold that with you. Any other homework assignments or action steps that you feel, I mean, this is plenty, so, but I just want to check like anything else that you, any other actions you feel inspired to take?
Well, movements was like big because I haven't been moving lately. Like I think I had COVID too. And then now I'm on my moon cycle. So it's just been like, so now I feel like I'm coming to the end of all of that, that like my body's just like, we gotta move. I gotta move.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I forced myself to work out this morning after having had COVID. So is there something specific around the movement that you want to commit to?
Like shaking. Just like really, yeah, shaking it, shaking all that out, compost, all that, those fears.
Yeah. Is it like once this week or is it a couple times this week that you'd like to do that?
Oh, I could do it a couple times for sure. Yeah.
Great. Beautiful. So I know there's been so much, but what is it on a higher level that you're really taking for yourself from our session today?
Well, I know what I know to be true is that we all have a message to share, and my message is important to share. And yeah, if not for myself, for others as well. But really, it's for me at this point.
Yes. I love that. I love that. That feels, you know, if it resonates like another writer downer, my message is important to share and to keep on coming back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, beautifully done. Thank you so much for being our volunteer and sharing so much with us.
Thank you.
Yay! That's all I give a yay for Lisa.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for witnessing me. And thank you for the process, Joanna.
You're so welcome. Thank you. And if it feels right, you can put your practitioner hat on as we unpack things. And you know, if you want to look at things through that lens, please do. Okay, great. So I'd love to hear from all of you who were witnessing and observing, what are some pieces that from a practitioner point of view that you want to pull out? What did you notice? What did you learn? What felt important? Or what questions or other ideas do you have? Who'd like to share? Nihal.
Hi, thank you both for that beautiful example. I kind of had like a mental awareness, but I really got it in my body when you asked to go deeper before going into the body, for before the somatics. And that was like, oh, this is like the entryway into the somatics. And that it was like very clear and artful for me. And what was interesting to me is as you went through that portal into the body, I was like, oh, but aren't there all these questions you want to ask the intellect first? And then you went into some of the questions in the body. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a really gentle way to enter some of those conversations instead of like picking it apart with the brain first. And I was wondering if you have guidance about when you pick it apart more mentally or when you give space for the body to do that work.
Yeah, it's such a great question. Can you remember like some of the questions that I asked that made you think of that?
Yeah, I think once you were into the body and where do you feel it and this kind of stuff and the metal came up, then it was what events brought this into being? And that I would have asked that before entering the body scape. So I was just curious about that.
Yeah, so she, if you notice, actually Lisa mentioned some of that beforehand. She spoke about her Christian upbringing and this and that. So in some ways, cognitively, she had already answered it. But I still asked again, and I'm so glad that I did, because something different came through the body. And that's that question of what event or series of events brought it into being. You know, if it's right for the client to go into the somatic work, that's one of those questions I always ask. Because sometimes it's not that what she mentioned first isn't also true. We probably could have gone down that. But sometimes the body is going to bring up what's more alive and present and like the ding, ding, ding for this moment. So the what event or series of events oftentimes can lead, you know, as we saw, I didn't realize we were going to be going all over. We can talk about that too. There are a couple of different things we worked with, but it can open up that doorway to what the mind doesn't know. So I'm not answering that bigger question of what questions do you ask before versus what questions do you ask after. But I will say this, all of the questions that I asked before, I don't know if you all noticed, that was all about establishing the intention. And so I want to pull that out for a moment, because she actually didn't, clearly answer the question the first time I asked it, which is great, right? Like nothing wrong with it. And Lisa needed to share all of those pieces. And then I reflected back to her and then I asked again, so considering all of this, what would you like to take away from our time together today? Why am I bringing that up in answer to your question? Oh, because when I know that we're going to go into a fear or a belief, I try to save most of it for that inner process. And then sometimes not all of it can be answered. And so then I'll bring it back afterwards. The one type of question that you want to stay away from in the inner process is a how question. How would you like to do that writing? How do you, what are the steps to the exercises that you want to do? Whenever you ask a how type question, the person is brought back more fully to the intellect. It's like you're brought up out of it. Does that answer your question? Yeah. And then I just wanted to say what you were sharing first. I love that you use the word portal, how the asking for permission to go deeper creates that portal. And a couple of weeks ago in one of the advanced groups that I lead, I was, this image, it's like I always had it, but it just came to me finally. I just became aware of it. And I'm going to share it with all of you too, in case it's helpful. When we do the befriend your fear or like the somatic work, I think of it as a container within the container of the session. It's like there's a tight container of the session. And then when we go into the process, we're in an even tighter container. And one of the many reasons asking permission, one of the reasons of asking permission is just being trauma-informed, you know, so that the client gives permission to go do this work. But the other thing is it does like open the pathway to then go into the container, within the container. Thank you. Karen.
Thank you, Joanna and Lisa. Joy, this was so powerful to witness, especially the somatic piece. And I just took away so much, and some of it Nihal hit on. But one thing I know that I want to really incorporate is you mentioned a couple times, like take a moment and just drop in to feel that. It's like you put you pulled out those important messages and moments and gave the body time to really feel it and go deeper in. And then I loved how you said take a body memory of it, let your body make a body memory of that feeling. Yeah. And then I was curious, so at the end of the inner process, you asked about, you know, taking action. She was talking about in the riverbanks, and what is it you want to know about? What does this part of you want you to know about moving forward and taking action? And she said something about, you know, to take action from inspiration. And then you, maybe you asked, it was like a yes, no question. And cause then she said, yeah. And I didn't really feel that persuasion from her, you know, like a big yes. But then it was so brilliant of you. Like you closed up that container, and then I noticed you went back into, you know, into the taking action. So,
yeah. So I don't remember that exact moment that you're talking about. But yes. So, and this goes back also a little bit to what I was just sharing with the how. We don't want to get too much into the strategizing. You know, we want to kind of like lightly tiptoe into next steps that might come through sort of like intuitively and organically. But usually we know when we've crossed the line into like, now we're getting too much into the head and, you know, trying to figure out the pieces. So that's number one. So you want to kind of bring more of those logistics into the conversation after that process. And there's something else I wanted to say about that. Oh, and this is an important piece. I very purposefully drew the conversation back to the writing, to the social media, you know, to the pieces that she was talking about in the beginning, so that she could have specific places to move forward, to bring this breakthrough more towards a transformation and get more of what she wants to, right, by practicing these pieces. So as a practitioner, we always want to be tracking. We you know, like we want to know what those intentions are. We want to bring client back to. Did you also notice I kept on bringing her back? Because she said ultimately in the beginning she wanted freedom. And so I kept on bringing her back. When I noticed she felt that freedom in her belly, I created more awareness there. I kept on bringing the concept back in. So we want to be tracking all of that, bringing it back in, creating awareness, asking questions, and strategizing towards it. So great observations. And then just to the first piece you spoke about, Karen, the body piece. Our bodies, okay, what I'm about to say is not scientific. So if anyone here knows different, call me out on it. This is just my theory. Although it could be true. Our bodies work slower than our minds. And if that indeed in some way is true, then that is one of the reasons why it makes a difference to ask a client to pause when they have a certain feeling, to drop in, to slow it down there with those body feelings.
I can tell you.
Sorry, say that again.
Oh! I thought I was on mute. I was gonna say. I do sometimes talk to the screen when I'm on mute, but that one I can answer okay. That though.
Okay, good. Affirmation. So it may not be true all the time, but no. I see there's affirmation in the chat too.
I guess when we're creating a new neural pathway, like if we're connecting, if we're firing thoughts to places that they haven't been. So if she's connecting the thought she's having, Lisa's connecting the thought she's having in her stomach to the thought she's having in her mind, she hasn't really created a groove of that.
Yes.
It can take the very first time you connect that, it can take up to 90 seconds. It can even take longer, but like the very first time you're pulling that thought, you have to be patient and allow it to come up and back down again. It, like the signal literally has to come from where it is to your brain and back down to close the loop. So yes, the first time you have that thought, and then if you, the more repetition you have in the thought, the more glial cells, the more myelination, and the faster the thought reaches the back. But I mean, like the up and back, and you can experience it very fast, but the very first time it takes longer. So that is scientifically, I'm agreeing with you.
Okay, yay!
Sorry. I mean, obviously I am also not a world expert in this, but I just want to give that.
Great, thank you. Jenna.
So I will try to bring in a couple of other things that haven't been mentioned because it might be obvious, but for me, it's a really good reminder. I love how patient and slow you were, because there's a part of me, it's like, oh, maybe I'm staying here too long, or you know, I going into the head. And so that was just like a really, I loved how you just really stayed with the process and just kept asking permission and checking in with her. And there was that point after she talked to her 9-year-old self, and then you asked what she was noticing, and there was still some fear in the solar plexus. And it just like went into this whole other area as well from there. And that's when the riverbank came through, and yeah, it was just really beautiful to witness. It was almost like there were two parts to it, the 9-year-old self and then and it was obviously connected. And I felt like there was one other thing I wanted to say. Oh yeah. And I know you mentioned this before, sort of like intertwining the befriend the fear and the rewiring. It's kind of a combination of the two. So just wanted to say.
Yeah, for sure. And there was a lot going on in that process. And so first, also to say, you don't have to do all those. I don't know. We were just in it and I thought it would be good to demo kind of going to the different places. But you have all seen me also, demo just focusing on just the fear, right? In the chest or whatever it is. And that's not less than at all. One is not better than the other. And I want to be really clear about that again, back to like, this is an art and there's so many pathways to get the client to where they want to be. And complicated or complex is not necessarily better. We were in it and I thought, it would be helpful for everybody to kind of see that example. So we did that. I'll say what I'm going to say next in case somebody says it before I do. So thanks, Jenna. Mindy.
I wanted to kind of, I don't know if this is when you wanted to talk about the kind of the question I had posed to you in my email, and even with Jenna had just said, letting someone sit there and be with it. So one of the things I told you, when I ran into this, it felt awkward because I realized, one of my edges is allowing things to go slower and sit there and let people sit with something. But there's a point at which well, how long do you let them sit there? And how do you know? And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, well, if they're really in the middle of something, I don't want to disturb them, but maybe they're waiting for me to prompt them on something. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah, trying to figuring that out.
It's such a great question. And so there are a couple of pieces to consider. And again, art, not a science. but so the first is, and tell me if this resonates, one of the ways that I know, or one of the things that guide me, is the energy. So if I'm, when I'm in that container within the container that I was talking about before, I can't remember if we may have been talking about it in here too. I can't remember, but it's almost like, whereas normally when I'm coaching, I'm open, like very open. But then when I go into that container within the container, I'm like even more open. It feels like there's a, like an even stronger, I can't explain it, but almost like even stronger energetic connection with me and the client. There's like, there's something going on there where I'm just like even more open, fully present in a way that you couldn't sustain, you know, doing all the time. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm that keyed in, I can almost feel, it's like when the inner dialogue stops, sometimes you can almost like, you just sense that shift of energy, like, oh, that's done now. They might be waiting, you know, they're like the energy has shifted in a sense. So that's just one piece to, you know, if you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not there yet, or that feels too hard or whatever, that's just like a piece to, you know, continue to work towards and strive for. That being said, two tools that you can use is, one, I always like to wait longer than I think I need to wait. If I'm unsure, I always like to wait longer than I think I need to wait before talking, because chances are it's because in my mind I'm like, you know, and so just like give it a little more space. Mm-hmm. So that's one tool. You know, if you're like getting to the point of I'm unsure, count one Mississippi to five Mississippi or 10 Mississippi, like really try to hold yourself back. And then, okay. And then the other tool is you can just ask, you know, you can say, are you still hearing, you know, are you mm-hmm. still getting information, or is that question complete? And absolutely can do that. That answer your question?
Those are very nice prompts. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Great cue. Jamie.
Mute myself. I just had like a really big aha. I've been kind of sitting here with this, the question of the body and the somatics. See, I can't even say that, because I grew up in a family where they're like body, we're not even going to talk about body, right? So it's all kind of been up here in the head. And, you know, one of the coaching questions that's always there, and the, what you said last time we were in a group together, is where, even if there's just a little tiny place of you that believes, like if that place can be activated, I used that last week with someone, was super powerful. And I just really got just right now, how all of us, this is like should have been figured out. No, how all of us have all, I know, access to all of this all the time. And what I noticed as you were coaching and what you were just pointing to is this spaciousness inside that container.
Yeah.
Where that question is, you know, I just got goosebumps, you know, if you did know, you know, if you did feel, that's a, it's an invitation instead of a challenge or a place to come up against.
Completely. And this actually goes back to our very, very first lesson in Sacred Depths, which is my client is whole and complete. Mm-hmm. They have everything that they need inside of them. And I have everything I need inside of me for us to come together and move through this in the ways, right? And mm-hmm. so when we really feel that, then there isn't, right? One of the things I wanted to point out, and it's to what you're speaking, to remember the moment where it's like she felt this, Lisa felt this beautiful freedom in her belly and, you know, all the things. And then she's like, oh, but that is a moment as a practitioner to either freak out, right, and be like, what went wrong? Why is she feeling a block? Why isn't it right? Or to be curious, to know that I'm whole and complete, she's whole and complete. This is just another piece of information or the next piece of the process, and to just continue to hold that space to move through it with the curiosity.
Yeah, and the river flowing, letting the river flow, which is such a beautiful place that there's no place to kind of hang on to anything but how beautiful that was. So thank you.
Thank you. All of these observations are so awesome. Libby, did you?
I wanted to piggyback off of that question Jamie alluded to, which is when she hits a block or wall and jumping to, if you did know, what would it be? And I remember being annoyed by that question. It's because it's like, I just said I didn't know, you know, and this is when you're in the cognitive, you know, of course. And then someone used it on me. And it just felt like oxygen, because, and I learned later that it pulls you out of your cognitive block and it puts you in your creative mind. And it just, the question gives permission to jump out from behind the block and go into creativity. And as a, you know, when I experienced that on the client side of the fence, I loved it.
Yeah,
and then I used it in a session the next day, and I was, and the client just loved it, and it just opened her up. So there is neuroscience behind that. It's
I love that.
Cool.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think it also pulls us, it also, that question has the potential to pull us out of myth of perfection into like experimentation and openness, because it's like,
bravery.
You need to know, but if you did know, like what, right? There's no attachment there.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. Rebecca.
That was amazing. Lisa Joy, I just like loved watching your process, and I want to, before I share what I'm about to share, just say that I'm not sure if this is yours or mine. But one of the things that I felt curious about was something that you said about a slippery slope. And usually I'm all about the body, but like there was something about, I was like, oh, I feel curious about the slippery slope. And I feel curious about just your awareness around your energy leaking. And those are two areas that I would have explored a little bit more deeply if I was sitting in the coach's seat.
I love that. And truth be told, I didn't catch that. I don't remember even when Lisa said that. So awesome listening. If that's an opportunity, if that's a direction that you choose to go down, just in the spirit of everything we're talking about, it could be dialogue, but you can even bring that into a somatic process. What does that slippery slope feel like? What does it want to say to you? You know, that's not a have to, but just another tool there. Even the slippery slope can have an archetypal energy to it, with wisdom and places to go. Awesome. Who else? What else wants to be shared or pulled out, or what's a road you may have gone down, or what questions do you have?
I just loved seeing the intuitiveness of Lisa Joy and the courageousness. And I know personally that coming out of a high control religious environment and finding your voice and being seen and putting yourself up for judgment and assessment and scrutiny, it's so brave. And she is doing something very profound and very brave. And I honor that.
Agree. Yeah. Simona.
So yeah, ditto the words, Lisa Joy, I'm celebrating you. So this one is more my own material, and I thought maybe I would just voice it, which is what I really noticed, and I'm getting much, much better. Thank you to Shauna, my coaching partner, and all the many people who kindly traded with me to help me soften back that like reflexive want to, like, when, you know, she was talking about, you know, just coming out of the spiritual closet, like a part of me just wanted to be like, it's a joy, like, you're okay. I don't know, like, just like reaching, like, there was no words on your part, like, I got you, what, you're fine, you're normal, like all these things, like you were just asking questions. And I thought that was so fascinating because of course that's what we do as coaches, but there was just like this part of me that just wanted to be like, you're in a community with witches right now, like, welcome to the coven, Lisa, like, you're okay, like, you're safe. And you, none of that, there was no, I mean, of course you normalized all the feelings, but in such a different and artful and not like straight up way, like trying to protect her from her feelings. And so of course that's what we're supposed to do as coaches, but I really, really, really noticed you not protecting her from her feelings, but supporting her in her feelings. And that was helpful for me to notice. I don't know if that's embarrassing to myself that I just said that, I'm not sure. But
No, not at all. I'm so glad that you're bringing it in. And it looks like, Lisa Joy, you have something to say about that. So I want to hear from you too. First, I just want to say there's more than one way to acknowledge. And yeah, part of that is, and this is, I think, one of those, I don't know the best way to say it, not manipulations, but like those for me, a coaching choice, so that she wouldn't get too comfortable, so that we could go in. So
that's really incredible, because that you just said that, because the brain needs enough stress and enough safety at the same time to be able to change. I love that you just said that.
So that is a choice. And also, that being said, there would have been probably nothing wrong, you know, like, and I'm curious to hear what you're going to say. Lisa Joy might be like, yes, I feel like I needed more in that moment of the acknowledgement, right? So again, an art, not a science. Yeah, so share with us your response to that.
I just remember the feeling at the beginning. It was near the beginning. And when you asked me how I, or what it would feel like to feel freedom or something like that. And it was at the very, very beginning. And you acknowledged the change in my stature and how like my body changed and the way I held that. And so that gave me agency. Like I felt like, oh, I can, like, it's there.
Yes.
Like there, it's there. I can tap into it. I'm not quite making the connection, but it's there. And so yeah, that's where I felt like I could do this. And then also what I wanted to add was when we went to because I'm super visual. And so I was in the room with my mom. And so I was like, oh, we're gonna stay here. And I like, as a client, I felt very thankful that we didn't stay there. And so Because I've had coaches that just want to be in that pain. So I have experienced that. And so when I went there with you, I was like, that's where more fear was rising. But you just guided so beautifully into like an environment, like an inner environment that I felt safe in to explore. So
I'm so glad you're bringing this piece up. It's an important point in general, and it's an important point in the difference between coaching and therapy too. There is an incredible transformational technique that you can use with memories that I teach in advance, but it's not the hanging out in it. It's finding impulses to shift things. But we don't, for the exact reasons that you said, like we don't, there's no need to like sit for long periods of time in that pain from the past, at least not in the context, like the coaching context of working towards goals and you know, those kinds of shifts. So I do like to bring in, like I could see in your process when you were talking about your mom, I could see there was something there from your younger self, which is why I brought in the 9-year-old, but not in a way of like being mired in it. I'm so glad you brought that forward. Mindy.
Something that occurred to me that I became curious about was talking about being a witch. And it seemed like it was something super, super important to you. And at one point you said, I'm a witch. It's like, it felt like you came out, you were outing yourself, and it felt super important and big that you could say it out loud to a community of people. And I don't know, that's what it felt like to me, that I would have loved to have known a little bit more about what that means to you and how you define that.
Yeah, beautiful. Again, another like decision of should we go, right? Because that like went through my mind, like, should we go the witch route or another route? And I think that could have been a very powerful route to go down to and bring in that archetypally and all of that. Or even to, you know, hang out, not even to go
fully
but hang out in it more. Yep.
And by the way, I am a lurker on a site called Witchy Moms because I love listening in on what people do and they always have great quotes. So just want to let you know.
I think you posted something from them in our group. I need to check that out. Jamie.
Yeah, Lisa Joy, thanks for confirming that energetic opening at the very beginning around freedom. And what I noticed, I felt it over here, but I'm wondering, and this is just a coaching question. I know you get the energetics, no matter what your medium is, Joanna, but on a phone call where you can't like use that visual, I noticed this, how would you do? Just, I can tell, I feel this, or just make a statement and see if it.
Yeah, so it's interesting with because I still do most of my private sessions on phone, not on Zoom, and all of the energetics are completely there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I even feel like even more because there's less of like the visual distraction. So you may not see a hand or a shift in a body, but what does happen when you don't have the visual is that you're listening even more closely to the quality of the voice. And usually if there's a hand motion or a body shift or whatever, there's going to be a shift, some kind of energetic shift in the voice too. And you can pick that up. Sometimes on the phone, every now and again, like I don't know. And I'll say, you know, I can't see you right now. Like, what's moving through you, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's more than okay to also ask. All right. So I feel like we were able to look at a lot today. I hope it was helpful. I hope that you all continue to practice and play with this, both in your partner work, your client work, and also continue to come back. You know, obviously it's harder to do the held space for ourselves, but whether it's journaling or moving, dancing or art or, you know, any of the pieces that we spoke about, my invitation is keep on coming back to the work. Thank you again to our wonderful volunteer client. And thanks to all of you for all that you brought forward. I'll see y'all soon. Bye.